Often you will hear phrases or people stating these kinds of things. I'm getting baptized, or I'm going to so-and-so's baptism. And I know that you've heard those kinds of things. And indeed, there may be some of you here today who have come and you're expecting one kind of thing, and maybe you're going to see something totally different. Because indeed, when you hear that term baptism or baptize, there are all kinds of different views and modes and different thoughts on this, with several different religions using this same word and even same practice, but to signify different things. There is one religion that I found, and this was their statement on baptism. And I want to be just very clear. This is a religion that I do not adhere to, I'd adhere to, or believe that the Word of God supports. But I just want you to hear their use of this word and how similar it might be to what we might say. Holy baptism is the basis of the whole Christian life, the gateway to life in the Spirit, and the door which gives access to the other sacraments. Through baptism, we are freed from sin and reborn as sons of God. We become members of Christ, are incorporated into the church, and made sharers in her mission. Baptism is the sacrament of regeneration through water in the Word. Interesting phraseology, isn't it? And it can be very deceiving if we would just read that and embrace it. But I want us to understand something, that the Word of God, I believe, clearly teaches that regeneration and salvation does not involve water. It involves the work of the Spirit. It is not a work that we do. It is a work that God does in your life and in my life. And it is important as we look at baptism. We're not going to do an exhaustive study on it today, but it is important that you take the entire context of the Word of God and the Scriptures into account as you develop an understanding of this practice, of this ordinance, as we call it in our church. As we begin thinking about baptism, I would like you to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10, what you have here is a very, very key transitional point in the church, and in church history as a whole. Because what takes place here is you have Peter has a vision, and Peter is the Apostle Peter, he's probably the main leader, spokesperson of the church, the early church. And he has this vision, and as a result of the vision, he is compelled to go and visit with some Gentiles. Now, why is that such a big deal? Well, Peter is a what? He's a Jew. And the church began in Jerusalem and began with the Jewish people. And so is very much isolated to the Jews. But now Peter receives this vision, is compelled to go and visit with Cornelius, who is a Gentile, and his household. And so he goes, and he's following the Lord's direction. He is not completely clear of what God has intended for him, but he follows, and we'll pick up at verse 34, where Peter begins his speech to the Gentiles in the household of Cornelius. Okay, so that's in Acts 10:34, and this is a very transitional point, because you're going to hear a Jew speak of Jesus Christ and the gospel to the Gentiles pretty much for the first time. And I dare say that as you read over this, I want you to realize that probably the majority of us in this room are Gentiles, or not Jews. There may be some Jewish folks here, and the church can be made up of Jew, Gentile alike. The scriptures are very clear on that. But at the very beginning, there was several transitional things that took place in the early church. And this is one of them. And this is where the gospel began to be spread to the Gentiles. And praise God that it was. Right? You realize that? That God just didn't keep this precious truth isolated to the Jewish people? Praise be to God. Look at what Peter says here. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and he said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Boy, am I glad of that. No respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began with Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Now, I just want to stop here. What is Peter doing? Peter is giving the context. Peter is bringing the Gentiles to an understanding of whom? Jesus Christ. He's bringing them up to speed, in other words. Because remember, the Gentiles have been on the outskirts of this incredible movement that has been taking place in Jerusalem and in Judea. And they have been on the outskirts, looking in. They have heard of this man, Jesus. In fact, many Gentiles, Roman soldiers specifically, took part in his crucifixion. And so they witnessed of these things, but they were not fully aware of the precious truth that surrounded this man. And especially as the new teachings began to come out, as the apostles began to teach in the power of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost, after when the church was begun. And so the Gentiles are eager to hear these things. And what does Peter do? Is he begins to bring them up to speed with who Jesus is. Now, I want to remind you also, there is one named John that is mentioned here. This is John the Baptist, as we commonly know. And John the Baptist was probably the most public figure, the first public figure that we see doing baptisms in the scriptures. Now, he was baptizing other people. Now, part of the Jewish culture, they would cleanse themselves, and sometimes they may call that baptism in their worship. But here is John when he, at the beginning of just before Jesus' earthly ministry started, John was doing baptisms. And you can look at that in Matthew chapter 3. The message he was proclaiming was, you must repent, for the kingdom of heaven is drawing near. And the whole purpose of John and his message and his baptizing people was to prepare them for whom? For Jesus. And so many people had heard of John the Baptist, had heard of him baptizing for the repentance of sins. And so people were confessing their sin, repenting, and they were showing that by being baptized and saying, I am preparing myself for the coming Savior, the Messiah, the kingdom of heaven. So Peter makes mention of that to these Gentiles. And in verse 38, we see him begin to speak of Jesus and mentions of how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, again, at John's baptism. So as we talk about baptism, remember Jesus himself was baptized. And he was baptized not because he had any sins to repent of, but it was part of God's plan of what? Of marking him out as his precious son. Because remember, when Jesus came up out of the water, the Father spoke from heaven and he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And so Jesus there is marked and identified as God's son. And it was accomplished through baptism. Now, we see middle verse 38, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost with power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. All right, Peter is focusing on Jesus, focusing on his power and on his work. In verse 39, we're all witnesses. The apostles were witnesses of these things. Now look at the end of verse 39. I stopped there on purpose. The apostles watched all these things, and they watched what? They watched him killed and watched him hanged on a tree. Now, if you were sitting back, you were listening to this story as Peter is sharing it with the Gentiles, there had to be some kind of question in your mind. Everything about this Jesus that you have been talking about has been good and upright. He's a great man. But now you're saying he was killed and hung on a tree. What happened here? Why? In verse 40, him, God raised up the third day and then showed him openly. In other words, he was shown to many people. All right, so here we have a man who was killed, he hung on a cross, he was buried, and he rose again. You know what? Listen, church, so often, you know, because we hear the gospel over and over and over again, sometimes we might lose the gravity of a resurrection. Because we don't know anybody that's risen from the dead. Well, neither did they, except when Jesus did it, and then Jesus accomplished it in his own self. Someone was dead, and they came back to life. These Gentiles, I'm sure, were spellbound. Verse 41, not to all the people. In other words, he revealed himself not to everyone, but unto the witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, the apostles, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he, verse 42, commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. Notice what he's saying about Jesus. Jesus was God's ordained judge. And indeed, listen, everyone that's here, this is very important. Listen, Jesus will be our judge. Whether you know him as Savior or not, one day you will stand before him and he will be your judge. If you know him as Savior, it will be a judgment of your works as to your faithfulness to him. Not a matter of your salvation, that is already sealed in Christ, in the Spirit. But it's just a matter of your faithfulness and reward. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as Savior, there will come a day when you stand before Jesus Christ and he will be your judge and he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. And that departing is a departing not for some small time, but it is a departing for all of eternity. And so, as Peter's explaining this to the Gentiles, he highlights the fact that this Jesus who was killed, buried, rose again, will be their judge. Verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission or forgiveness of sins. Why do we preach Jesus Christ? We preach Jesus Christ because in him, in believing in him, there is found forgiveness of sin. Listen, forgiveness. Can you think back to the last time that you were forgiven by someone else? Have you been privileged to be a part of a relationship that was mended as a result of forgiveness? You realize, dear ones, listen, that our sin causes us to be separated from God, which means that we have no way of relating and being with God except if God does something, because in and of ourselves we cannot do anything to merit God's favor. But God did do something And that is who Peter is talking about here. It's Jesus Christ. He sent him to this earth. And he says, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. Well, verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. The Jews that were with him were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, the people were hearing this truth about Jesus, and they were believing. They were believing in Jesus. And it was manifested. Look at verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and to magnify God. And then answered Peter. Now listen. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then prayed they him to tarry a certain days. So notice what takes place here. This is the first real message to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are eager to hear, and they are spellbound by Jesus Christ. And by this one who was killed, yet he was a good man, a man that healed many, raised people from the dead, but yet he was killed, hung on a tree, the cross. But then he rose again. He's alive. And so again, as these Gentiles are listening in, their hope is revived. This Savior, this Jesus Christ, he is alive. He is our judge. Because he's alive, he presides over our lives, and we all will stand before him. He is our judge. But Peter ends with this most important truth. He's our Savior. And it is in him we find forgiveness of sin. Many people there in that household believed. They believed. They believed, and they were baptized. And you guys are here today. Thank you, family, friends, for coming. You're here today to witness two ladies that have believed. They believed in this Jesus Christ. The one who died, was buried, and rose again. He died to pay the penalty for their sin. And they have believed that. And the next step, as a result, they believed. And the next step is to be baptized and to show publicly what has taken place inwardly. You see, baptism is a step of obedience where you are stepping out and allowing people to know without shame, I am a believer in Jesus. He is my Lord. I live for Him. The decisions I make now will be to please Him. If my life is different now, it's because He has changed my life. I live for Him. And that's what baptism does. And that's partly why, as I prayed, we do it outside, because I'd like the community, our community. I'm praying for this community. I desire our community to see God's work and to come up to me and say, what did you do last week with this big water tank in the yard? What an opportunity to explain to them what we're doing. Baptism. We now have the privilege of baptizing Asa and Grace, my daughter. And what we'll do is, men, I'll ask you to go out and prepare the baptismal tank, and we will close our time with a song and a prayer. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you being here. I'm thankful for the Word of God and how it helps us to understand these things. You realize, don't you, that in many nations across our world, when you become a Christian and you want to be baptized, it is at that point when you are publicly baptized and identified with Christ that your family rejects you. Your family turns against you. Why? Because when you're baptized, you are publicly marked as a follower of Christ. And so many nations across our world and people groups, they don't embrace Jesus as Savior. Baptism is a is a wonderful step. And I want to encourage each and every one of you here today to consider, have you been baptized? Have you taken that step? It takes courage, but living the Christian life, you've got to have the courage to walk every day different than the world. But it's a wonderful step, and it's an opportunity to speak Jesus, to speak of Him to your friends, to your family, to your church. Lord Jesus, I thank You for our time, and I thank You for what we are about to do, and I'm just excited, Lord, to be a part. And I thank You for the precious Word. Thank You for the message that went to the Gentiles. And God, I thank You that You care about Jew and Gentile alike. All nations, Lord, You care. And You desire all to come to repentance. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would bless this time now. In Jesus' name, amen.